Hey, this is JD of JD's Man Cave, coming at you again tonight on a big old Saturday night. We want to thank y'all for tuning in. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Ain't it a blessing to have a job?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Well, look here, fellas. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Hey, is Brother Bobbin on the line yet? Okay, well, Steve will join us shortly, I'm sure. But anyway, fellas, like I said, I appreciate y'all tuning in. And we out here, man, representing the man cave to the fullest and trying to give back to the community and helping these kids out with their practices and things of that nature. So I just appreciate Big Lee pulling up out here on me, man, and helping me out with the situation we got going on. But good to hear you fellas on the line, man. We're going to do a good show tonight. I bless God to give us the wisdom and the knowledge that we need to transfer through these airways. So, Big Red Joe, I'm gonna let you lead us off tonight with your topic, brother. You go ahead and start talking, and we're gonna handle it today.
Well, today, first, I want to know y'all's opinion about domestic abuse, man. You know, what you feel about a man putting his hands on a woman for any reason at all?
Hey, let me tell you.
I need that one right there, for.
Let me explain something to you, Reggie. I'm against any kind of violence in the household, whether it's against the wife, whether it's against the husband, whether it's against the kids. There is no reason for domestic violence. First of all, you have to understand something. My concept is this. If you are in the same dwelling, living with one another, eating in the, you know, you should have enough trust in each other if you're living together to have good patience and understanding with each other. You should be able to sit and talk and work things out. Violence should never occur within a household of people who say that they love each other. Now, first of all, violence should never occur. Violence is never the answer to any type of disagreement. But even furthermore, in a household, I'm all against it. There's no way in the world you can explain it to me why you beat your wife up, why you beat your husband up, why you beating on them kids. You can't explain that to me. There's no way in the world that you can explain that to me. And that's my bottom line, period, on that situation. Now, other people may have some other varying opinions, but that's mine. And I stand on it, and I don't move on it. Anybody else got any other opinion?
Well, my thought on it is, why would you want to hurt someone you love?
Amen.
You know, you chose to be with this person. There's going to be disagreement. But it don't give you the right to put your hands on him or her. You're not raising a child, both of y'all are grown.
Right.
So if you get that mad, maybe you should just step out for a little bit, go into a neutral room till you cool off and you both think about what you want to say. The red don't lead to nothing major. You know, take a time out. Like, nothing wrong with taking the time out to think. That way your words don't escalate the situation to something that it shouldn't be. And that's my take on it.
Right. You're absolutely right, Kenway. I agree with you 100%, brother. You ain't going to get no qualms out of me. Big Lee, you got something you want to tell them?
Well, when it comes down to domestic violence, man, you got to have a lot to do with attitude, man. If you just got an attitude problem and you got that, I personally call this a slave mentality, you like to beat on people. It's just not a good thing. You know? It's just not a good thing, man. Yeah, it just, you don't want to beat on, you know, instead of, to me, I think that you should, I think the other person. It's all a thought process. So when they do something to make you mad enough, you should maybe outthink them and change the situation.
Right.
You shouldn't just result in just hitting somebody or throwing something at them or whatever your violence act may cause, because I was never the violent type, man.
I understand.
I just always figured I was smarter than the other person.
Right, yeah, I think.
Yeah, you're smarter than that.
You what they call
even when it came out of my kids.
You what they call a critical thing.
I'm not saying I never whooped my kid, but they just had to really, really get out of line for me to result to that.
Well, the Bible says you spare the rod, spoil the child.
Right.
Now when a whooping is due in the household,
they gotta call the whooping.
But the thing is, some parents take whoopings past what a whooping is.
Right.
It turns into a beating and abuse.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? So we don't want to. My thing is that you have to understand as a parent and think, you know, like you say,
I think, and know
when to draw that line. You know, when a whooping becomes abuse. Mm-hmm. you got to stop, you know. So, let's see. Bobby, not it. KJ, you got anything you want to talk about on this?
Yeah. First of all, you have to understand, there's a lot of women out here that's been hearing this for the years, that a man ain't supposed to put their hands on a woman. That
right.
Under no circumstances. And you got a lot of women that take that to the extreme. Because you got a lot of women out there that will cut you, slap you, push you, punch you, and you so much as push them off you one time, and they yelling, they screaming bloody murder. So it needs to be more specific, because we speaking in real general terms, but you got to be specific, because if you got a brother that got on a female like that, and she putting her hands all over him, he avoiding her. He's trying to go home, grab his clothes, get out the house, go to his mama house, or go get a hotel, or whatever he's going to do. And she's steady putting his hands on him. She punching him, kicking him, throwing stuff at him. He's steady avoiding her, ignoring her, leaving her alone.
And
she finally
hit
him that last time and push him to the limit. And he go upside her head one time. I'm not holding that against that brother at all. Because this man has done everything.
Hold on, let me finish.
He's done everything humanly possible to restrain himself in that situation. So now, is he at fault because she done hit him 50 times and he hit her once, or is he at fault?
Well, let me give you my opinion. Lee was trying to interject first. Let me go ahead, and then I'm gonna give you my opinion on what you just said. Go ahead, Lee.
Well, sometimes I guess, like you said, it comes down to the point you have to correct a person. Now, when it comes down to your clothes handing to correct them, you're out of line. But sometimes a little open hand correction mightn't be needed in that situation. Now, it do depend on his closed hand or open hand
correction. Hold on. Let me tell y'all something, man. That's why I love Lee Foster being on this show, because he's going to get it to you really raw and uncut. Let me explain something to you, KJ.
I
heard every word you said, but let me explain something. The man is at fault in the situation you're talking about. Cause let me explain something to you. As a grown man, I ain't gonna stand around letting a woman hit me no 50 times before I make a decision to get out of that situation. First of all, let's just understand that I'm not gonna let it get that far. Second thing is, you have to understand something. There is no reason for violence. And if a woman is hitting you and fighting on you, that ain't your woman. That ain't the woman for you, because a real woman submits to her man. You see what I'm saying? And let me explain something to you. Submission does not afford lashing out. That doesn't even cross her mind. See, so if you got a woman who you are having to fight, that ain't your woman. It's time to change women. First of all, let's get that part correct. See, so many times we end up dealing with women we want to deal with because she's fine. We put up with her stuff because she look good on my own. But they don't. They're just like women who have husbands, who have a bunch of money and wear suits and drive Benzes, but he beating up upside her head every week. She got to wear glasses and makeup to work because her eye big as her forehead. You see what I'm saying? So it's the same alternative. Each one of these people that I just gave you the scenario for should have been gone. You see what I'm saying? There's no reason, and there's nobody worth giving up your dignity and your manhood or your womanhood taking licks upside your head because you wanted to be with them. That ain't who God put you with. You're supposed to be with the one God put you with. And the Bible tells you you should be equally yoked. Now, I ain't going to be with no woman that want to whoop me side my head. Now, I don't whoop women. That ain't equally yoked. You see what I'm saying? So you have to understand this concept that you're dealing with when you talk about relationships. And that's in any relationship, whether it's domestic at home and whatnot. You know, sometimes kids have to be removed from the house because, like, CPS come get them babies because you steady whooping on them, beating on them, sending them to school with a black eye. This baby got a busted lip because you done hit him in the mouth instead of just getting you a belt and whooping him on his behind. That's domestic abuse at any level. So we have to be cognitive of the sickness and the disease of domestic abuse within our black community. And we have to understand and approach it. Because let me tell you something, you ain't going to never get well if you don't think you're sick. And that's a sickness in our community that we need to deal with. And we need to deal with that household by household, door to door. You know, sometimes, you know, we have where police, CPS, and other organizations have to step in because we aren't smart enough and skilled enough and sociologically advanced enough to deal with our problems in our household because we've never been taught. You have some parents who ain't never taught being a parent because they never had no damn parent. You see what I'm saying? So that's where my aspects and what I talk about come from. Bridget, you brought this topic up. I want to hear your feedback on it.
Well, the way I feel about it, I was raised not to do, you know, not to put my hands on a woman. I mean, my mom instilled that in me at a young age. So, but I have been in volatile situations with women that I had to just get out of.
Right.
You know, and I did stick around for a while, though. Sometimes you just stick around.
Oh, that's because you were fine. That's because you were fine and you couldn't leave
them. Well, I mean, it might be more than she was.
Let's call her Bow Bow. She was fine and you ain't want to leave.
No, you know, them good is good.
Hey, man, look, if them good is good, sometimes it'll make you stay. Let's just be honest.
Sometimes you just rub it. You know,
she is rubbing that nookie thing.
Yeah. And we say, get away in that nookie thing.
Yeah, she's rubbing that nookie thing.
Sometimes that thing get too good to give up. So, but you know, you see it. Sometimes you got to just step out, baby. Yeah, because
yeah.
If it's worse than what it is good, then it's time to go. If you're good, you're bad, I got to go.
Well, I'm gonna be honest about this. One time
right.
It may have been because of that reason, but another time it was because of you.
Right, right.
You also kept me there.
One time is too many.
Every time I was
one time is too many.
It was a guilt trip. So you know, sometimes it can be more than just that hold you there.
Right, right. I understand. I'm just joking with you, big dog. We all have been through it.
I ain't tripping about it because I'm a man like everybody
else.
Yeah,
we all have been through it, baby.
No, I have.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What'd you say, Kenny Wayne? I know I have.
I know I've been through it.
But, yeah, go ahead with your thought on it, Reggie.
Yeah, but like I said, sometimes it's just guilt that keeps you in a relationship. I had a woman just guilt me. She had me feeling so guilty every time I even want to leave, I couldn't leave. And I just felt bad because I was leaving her. She made me feel like, you know, I was deserting her, but she never would change her tendency. And in fact, I had to leave like a thief in the night. You know what I'm saying? I had to leave without her knowing me leaving. And even then, she tracked me down.
Right.
You know, sometimes you're just in a situation, I'm not saying that you should stay in a relationship for any reason, that, you know, that somebody that's being abusive to you or trying to make you be abusive. Because I'm not the kind of brother to go around hitting on women. I don't even want to hit on the dude. Unless I just absolutely have to. Every fight I ever had was brought to me. I just started. I'm
right.
The guy
in that mode. Right.
You know, I'm just not like that. You know, I'm always thinking that if I get caught up in something like that, they're going to look at me like, well, man, look, I'm always being told, well, look how big you are. You know, I get that right. Even from the police, look how big you are. I'm hearing that, you know what I'm saying? So I try to, like, keep my hands to myself and, you know, try to calm the situation down if I can. But, you know, like I said, you have to get out of a relationship if it's very abusive. I don't see how they like to just, you know, keep doing it. But I do understand people that do stay for a while because they're trying to fix it. They might love the person. Or like you say, it might be so good you can't let it go. Or it could be, like I said, one of my cases, just simple guilt. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or whatever it is you want to, you know, whatever a person is doing to make you stay in that relationship. You know, people, you know, some people have a sway over. But,
right.
That's how I feel about it. But I just wanted to see what y'all feel about, you know, a man.
Right.
Actually, well, not just a man, just about, you know, domestic violence, period. You know, because, you know.
Right.
It's happening more because of, you know, the COVID. Everybody's being locked in the house together, so it's more, you have the tendency to want to fight people more because you're around them so much you can't even get away from them. You're right there with them. That's why I asked the question.
Right.
They got a lot to do with people not being able to go to them clubs, man. When you're at home with your woman and she getting on your nerves, you can put in your clothes and go to the club. They got a club clothes, so you got to stay home with that woman and hear it. She ain't changed. You can't run away from it now.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up, Lee. And Reg, it's funny that y'all too bring that up, because I noticed that when this COVID situation took place and everything started shutting down and all that, I saw a study on TV and in the newspaper where domestic violence had gone up in the city of Houston by about 65%.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasoning behind that, I was like, wait a minute, what? And I understood the reasoning behind it was a lot of people are quarantined with people they found out they couldn't stand. That they found out that their marriages and their arrangements that they were living in was simply business and convenient arrangements. You ain't really like that person.
Instead of you going to work, getting off
right.
the club,
exactly. you had to stay home and deal with this person. So you realize there are going to be, I guarantee you, that after all this COVID situation, and maybe they might be doing it online, the divorce rate going to go up by at least 40%. You're going to realize, man, I can't stand this heifer. I can't stand this brother.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to get rid of each other. Because you figured out, let me tell you something. This COVID situation put people in situations where they had to deal with the person that they were attached and had to attach themselves to. And you start to realize that, hey, man, this ain't really nothing but a business agreement. I don't like this girl. I don't like this cat. He pay bills. That's the only reason he's here.
Now I can't go see my boy.
No, I can't. And look, not only that, you quarantined and you can't go see your side piece.
You can't go see him because he was here
with his wife. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, he at home with his wife, so him and his wife over there beating each other up,
uh-huh.
And y'all, you and yours over there beating.
Y'all can't meet out nowhere. Get everything closed.
Everything closed, man. Yeah, I just find it funny, Reggie, that y'all, you and Lee brought that up, but that is a permanent byproduct of this COVID situation that we find ourselves dealing with. And I just simply look at it as that's God's way of telling you you're in the wrong place, brother. It's time to move on. You know, there's really only one circumstance in the Bible where divorce is permitted by the Bible. That's adultery. And if you have an adulterous affair, then your wife, or if she has one, has a right to divorce without penalty from God. So, you know, they're going to end up finding out some situations that adultery has occurred.
Yeah, you good. If that's what happened, then yeah, you perfectly fine. If that's what happened, then you had a right.
But yeah, I just thought I'd bring that up. But yeah, that's a funny situation, Reggie. And you know, we're going to move on to the next topic. I appreciate that topic, Reggie, because that's something we really need to deal with in our own social economic situation as black people, the domestic violence that occurs and we allow to occur. You know, cause your family members sweeping under the rug. They know your eyes swole every week, but they don't say nothing.
That's us.
You know, and I look, hey, Reggie, let me tell you something else I always say to girls, these young girls out here dating. You, every young girl want a thug, so can't nobody beat him up in her family. Can't none of her brothers or cousins whoop him. You wanted a thug, but now can't nobody do nothing with him, and every week your eyes swole. Now you don't know how to get out the situation, so now you're stuck. But anyway, we'll move on to the next subject. Lee, you have a topic you want to talk about, brother?
Yeah, I got something I can bring up. All right, well, let's
go. My brother up on Facebook.
Reparation.
Uh-oh.
Do you feel that we deserve or should get reparation? And it's a part two to this. If you do get reparation, you have to go and move back to Africa. You can't stay in America no more.
That's a stipulation of what you're saying?
Right.
Okay. Well, anybody want to go first on this topic?
Reparation.
You know, I'll go first on that topic.
Go ahead. I know you got some strong opinions on this.
Well,
I know,
you know,
my brother.
No, do we deserve? Are you saying do we deserve it, or do I want it?
Would you take it? What he's saying. What he's saying basically is, would you take reparations if the stipulations were, if you take it, you got to move back to Africa. You got to go back to Africa. You got to get out of the United States. That's basically what he's trying to infer.
Well, it really depends how much money they're talking about they're giving me. You know what I'm saying? Because some parts of Africa is not that bad.
Hey, everybody got a price, man.
You know, some parts of Africa is not that bad. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what part?
With the right amount of money, you can move to a city in Africa like Houston, huh?
But the way I feel about it, every other race has gotten something from the U.S. government. You know,
right.
The things they did in the past, except us.
Yeah, they gave Holocaust victims. Let's be honest, they gave Holocaust victims and Japanese.
But those people are actual nationality. How would they rate us? You can't just give us a reparation because we're black. Black is not a nationality. You know what I'm saying? You got your Jews. You got your whoever. Indians, they got reparation, but they got reparation within a tribe, so they had to be within that tribe. Black is not no nothing. It's just Black America.
That's not accurate, KJ.
The Hebrews
get $1.3 million annually over in Israel, from America, to compensate the Jews for the Holocaust. The Indians, they got reparations and they get government funded subsidiaries on every job that they got from the U.S. every year, so they do.
Right. Well, he said that.
And those aren't nationalities. Those are race. Those are races.
That's what I said. I said black is not a race though. Black is just Black America. You're not a race. You can't get nobody just because they're skin color.
I guess my point is, does it even matter?
Yeah, it matters because a lot of black people wasn't descendants of slaves.
Well, let me ask you, how do you
actually,
think
descendants of slaves in America right now?
Well, how is being black not a racist?
A lot of Jewish people are descendants of the Holocaust, but they still get paid.
When they ask you what race you are, they have boxes that you can pick which race you are. So how is black not considered a race?
You got black people from France. All over the world, they're black. What about the people in America that are from Africa?
We're talking about the people here in America who are
exactly, but they're black.
Hold on, Reggie.
I understand what you're saying. Let me explain something to Lee. In American standards,
mm-hmm.
black is actually a race. They ask you when you're filling out black, white.
Yeah, but they get
reparation. What tribe or what would they give it?
What they would do is any American citizen that identifies according to their standards as a Black American is the one that they would give reparation.
What about the one that's mixed? They consider.
Let me explain something to you. A white woman and a black man have a baby. That's a black baby.
That's a mixed baby.
No, that's a black baby.
That's a mixed baby.
No, by the census report and the way that they categorize people, that's a black baby.
If you get a bucket of white paint and you put two drops of black in there, what color is that paint?
It ain't white no more.
It's mixed. It's not black. It's mixed.
I understand, but
it's mixed.
But that, let me explain something to you. Blood and paint ain't the same thing.
Mixed people.
Blood and paint ain't the same thing.
Mixed people is playing both sides.
I'm saying that chromosomes and blood ain't the same thing.
I'm telling you,
you
mixed
are comparing apples to oranges.
No, mixed people are playing both sides. See, white people don't absolutely accept mixed people like black folks do. But black folks accept because they got good ass.
But they black. If they get stopped by the law,
they consider black.
They can be considered white too.
If they go to the census,
they are black people.
Is that what they want to identify themselves with?
No, that's what America identifies them as.
They can go. They can. They can also.
as be accepted as white if their white family accept them.
I need you to understand your history, brother. I need you to understand your history.
What you're saying.
Hold on. I want you to do this. This is your homework for tonight. I'm going to give you some homework. I'm not your teacher, but I'm going to give you some homework. I want you to look up through Google or through whoever you want to do, look it up. How much black blood does it take in your family for you to consider black?
1/16.
I just want you to understand. Look it up. Don't just start hollering about white paint and all that. I want you to look it up. I want you to look it up. You are mixed, but you consider black. You consider black regardless. When it comes to the chromosomes, in your blood, that's not why. It's because according to American standards, you are black. Any black blood in your bloodline makes you a black person in the eyes of America and their standards to how they represent and divide race. You a black man. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you. If you go have a kid with a white woman, I don't care what show outwardly, that baby is considered a black boy or girl. If a black man go have a white woman, no, I'm sorry. If a black woman go have a baby with a white man, that baby is considered black by American standards of race, period. There's no question, not no mix. You have never filled out an application somewhere and said mix.
It says other.
That's not mix. I just said mix.
I said that's the same thing.
No, it ain't.
Not neither.
No, that's other. Hold on, man. I don't mean to. The thing is, other is in case you don't identify as a Japanese, or Chinese, black, or white, or Indian.
No.
If you can't be identified, that's what I'm saying.
That's how you identify yourself.
Let me say something.
You're going to tell me this. If you identify yourself as a white boy right now, they're going
to say, if I was mixed, and I want to be with my wife and my family.
No,
they wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't.
Yes, you could.
No, you're going to get run off the front of family union.
Yeah, the family exception. That's what I'm telling you. Black family are going to accept you regardless.
Well, when them law for you, they're going to ask, hey, you Mitch,
if you want to use your white boy card that day,
hey,
you
man,
can do it.
It can't.
You can't. But you
can't.
I can't.
What you say now, fella?
I said, if we went by that logic, all of us are mixed. All of us.
Oh, what now?
I said, if we went by that logic, all of us are mixed. None of us should check the black box at all. None of
right. Let me explain something to you, KJ. I'm sitting here right now where I am, right? I mean, Reggio. I'm sitting here where I am. And Lee don't understand that my great-grandmother was a white woman. I ain't white. I ain't mixed. I'm black. Everywhere I ever went and filled out an application, I put black. Because I'm black.
It don't have nothing to do with the father?
No, I said my great-grandmother. She's in my bloodline.
What's the great-grandmother with a white man?
I'd still be black. Yeah, no, it wouldn't. I'd still be black.
As it dribbles down, you start getting more and more black into your family. That's why you're not light-skinned.
Why you ain't talking about white? I still got some white in my blood.
I can't say I'm white.
You have more black in your blood than white. It don't matter. Well, I just said.
You said mixed.
I said you mixed.
How much percentage of mixed are you talking about?
Mixed.
Okay,
white daddy, black mama.
Let me ask you something. Am I mixed?
White daddy, black mama.
Would you consider me mixed?
White daddy. Black
bro,
mama.
Let me ask you a question. Would you consider me
mixed? Look how far down on them.
I'm saying white daddy. Black mama, light-skinned baby. That light-skinned baby can be black or white. It can go on either side of that tree you want to.
We gonna agree to disagree until you do your homework.
Okay.
All right. Now, moving on.
This is old.
Hold on. We agreed to disagree. We talking about that.
All right.
Me and you through talking about it. Anyway. But anybody else got any opinions on
it? I feel like... The reason why I feel like we deserve reparations, and it's not even about the money with me. Everybody that's in this, you think about just the white people left Europe and came here in 1776. That's when the first slave ship arrived in America. And for the record, Even if you're not from America, even if you're
don't
not.
Hold up, don't get the call out no numbers that you don't know for real.
Even if you're black and you're Dominican, even if you're black and you're Puerto Rican, Honduras, you're still black because the very first slave ship that left Africa didn't come to America. The transatlantic experience went all over the world, but that's neither here nor there. The reason
why you gotta understand a lot of them slave ships didn't make it to America.
The reason why
that's why you got black Puerto Ricans.
The reason why there should be some compensation is because every dollar that the white man has attained here in this country, for the most part, has been made at the expense of 10 million dead black people. Yet you give money to every ethnicity. Asians come over here in mass groups. You give them all kinds of small business loans. Hispanics come over here. You have all kinds of rules and regulations. They wouldn't even be allowed to come over here had we not been here, had we not been subjected to what we were subjected to. So does it necessarily need to be monetary? No, but there needs to be some full and open acknowledgement of the roles that black people played in America, quote unquote, being as great as it is. Because America wouldn't be the country that it is if it wasn't for the blood, sweat, and tears that black folks had been shedding over here since 1776. So does it need to be a monetary compensation? We can have that discussion some other time. But it definitely needs to be some sort of compensation.
Well, first of all, 1776 was not when the first slave ship came over here. Let's just get that part right. And I'm going to need you to stop throwing out numbers if you ain't done your homework. Second thing. That's the first thing we're going to talk about. Second thing
so
is, I do agree with you. Huh?
When did it come here?
Well,
what you
saying? I'm not mistaken. 1776. Is when it's
that's the bicentennial, ain't it?
Yeah,
or something.
When did the first slave ship come to America?
Actually,
1684.
When
did
the slave ship get away?
Don't count
me out unless you're gonna back it up. When did it get here?
I'm gonna Google it. First slave ship comes to America.
So
we're gonna Google
the
case.
So
we're gonna Google it, KJ, because we don't want to give out no misinformation. But
JD,
I'm gonna need you to quit throwing out numbers if you ain't done no homework. Yes, sir.
JD.
Yes, sir.
Isabella, British slave ship, about the first 150 African slaves to the American port of Philadelphia in 1619.
I'm sorry,
Jamestown, Virginia.
Right. That is so many years past 1776.
Okay.
So once again,
So for the record, moving forward,
so you
were
only
off
by about 160 years,
I'm
bro.
I'm gonna start fact checking every time you throw some dry numbers out there. Now I'm gonna start fact checking.
Right.
I'm gonna call you out now.
Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing. 1684, but
I'm going by what they said Google said. I didn't know, but I knew that.
I was wrong. I'm gonna fact checking on air now, and I'm gonna start fact checking you on air then.
Okay, that's cool. I'm not going to throw no number out that I ain't researched. I promise you that. Like I said, we're going to quit throwing out numbers if we ain't going to do our homework. And I knew from common sense and going to school on the regular that 1776 was not the answer to their question. I did not know the answer. And I thank Kenny Wayne.
I was cutting the numbers down you putting out there. When I start
hold
chopping
on.
The numbers that you put up there now.
Well, do what you do. But I know you got to do some homework to chop some numbers down that I throw out there. But I tell you what,
no,
I appreciate Kenny Wayne for giving out the correct information. We're not going to just throw numbers out.
JD. I got a question, though.
Talk to me.
What do y'all think about the situation with Nick Cannon?
Oh Lord, I appreciate you for bringing that up, brother. Can I start with that one?
Yeah.
Hey, fellas, let me explain something to you. These people fired Nick Cannon for his Views podcast that he does on his own. Now, let's understand something. I don't know if y'all have ever watched Wild and Out, but in the credits, Nick Cannon is the creator of the show, Wild and Out. He is the creative mind. He is the... put it like this.
Wilding Out is his brainchild. And because the network feels that they own it now, they feel that they had the right to fire this brother. And I don't know if y'all saw it. I don't know if it's a joke or not. But I saw somewhere on the internet they're talking about trying to replace Nick Cannon on Wilding Out with Ryan Seacrest. I don't know if that was a joke or not. That was just something I saw. You know, I don't trust the internet. But the thing is, the show Wilding Out, if you've ever watched the show, there is nobody else in America who can do the Wilding Out show besides Nick Cannon. And the reason why I say that is because, first of all, Nick is the creative mind behind it. And not only that, he has all those stars that he has made because he gave them an opportunity. And I'm hoping and praying that those stars that are on that show follow Nick wherever he's going to go. Now, the thing is, and I appreciate this, Puff Daddy, being the influence he is in the entertainment world, told Nick, I got you. If they don't want to do your show, I'll do it. You can come on my network and do your show on this cable network that Puff Daddy owns. Now, what that says to me is that's a brother helping another brother out who has the power and the influence to do it. And the thing about that is I'm hoping that if Nick goes with Puff Daddy and does his show, that all them people, if they're not under a solid contract with the show, follow Nick. Or if they are under contract, when their contract is up, they don't renew it and go with Nick and help him to create his show on another network. You see what I'm saying? Because that show is not going to have the same fizzle, the same sex appeal, the same energetic rhetoric that they have on. That show is an awesome show. I don't know if you've ever watched it, but that is an awesome show. And the reason that show is awesome is because of Nick. So I hope it blows up in their face, because that man did something. All he did was stand up for what he thought was right. And because he thought what he thought was right didn't agree with what them white people had in line that they thought he should have been saying, they fired him from the show that he created. You got to be ignorant. You know what I'm saying? And God sees all. You see what I'm saying? So Nick Cannon ain't going to be hurt. Now, what did piss me off was the fact that Nick went back on TV and tried to apologize for it. You know, you don't do that. You stand for who you are and be who you are and trust that God going to take care of you. If you don't feel the way I do, that's fine. I'm going to still stand up for what I think is right under God. You know what I'm saying? And that's what Nick had said. That's all he said. Everything that Nick said lined up with the way things should be. But because he didn't say it the way them white people wanted him to say it and the network executives wanted him to say it, they felt right to fire him. So I'm trusting God that he's going to take care of Nick Cannon.
Did he say that the Jews were savages, or did he say black people were savages?
Who
Nick Cannon? Yeah.
Somebody said
was savages.
Does anybody know exactly who Nick said was savages? I'm not going to comment because I don't remember.
He said white people are savages. He said blacks are the original Hebrews. And he said that white, for the most part, white people need to be happy that blacks aren't trying to rise up against them, because they wouldn't win a war like that. But if you
okay,
listen to three key points I just mentioned, black
right.
people are the original Hebrews, that
right.
People are savages, and
right.
In a war, he's not just talking about blacks here in America, he's talking about blacks worldwide. They don't want to have
right.
a race war because they could win. If you think about what he just said, now he probably could have termed it differently, but what he just said was the truth.
Blacks, the brother ain't lied yet. The brother ain't lied yet.
And the further your point,
let me explain something to you.
Itself, If they say, for instance, he does go to Diddy's network and take the show, you got to think of not just the people that's on Nick Cannon's show, but you think about all the guests that come on Nick Cannon's show. Nick Cannon routinely
right.
has A-list guests on his show. These Kevin
right.
Hart, Dwayne Johnson, Snoop, these dudes not going to go on Ryan Seacrest's show, especially with what's going on in America right now. They're not going to go ride with Ryan Seacrest and not mess with Nick Cannon anymore. So, check it out, Ryan
right.
Seacrest, if they want to, I get a show a half a season at the most. They're going to pull the plug on it.
And look, let me tell you something, KJ. I pray to God that's what happens. I pray to God. But, you know, the thing about it is that black people,
we have not stood together on certain issues, and that's why certain issues have not been resolved in our community. Now, the thing about it that I like what you said was Nick ain't lied yet. How you gonna fire a brother for throwing out historical facts? Let me tell you something. Everywhere the white European man has ever stepped, he has destroyed, he has raped and pillaged. And if that ain't a savage, what is? Everywhere he's taken disease, at homelands, taken over, raped and pillaged, everywhere he's ever gone, changed the culture. He destroyed the culture that was already there and created his own culture and put himself as the reigning king. So where did Nick lie? If the man didn't lie, let him talk. That's all I got to say about that. What you think, Lee?
Certain people you don't talk about, and them Jews is one of them. The Jews run everything, man. They run all the music industry. You ever notice you don't have no rap song talk about Jews? Because if they do, they're out of there.
Easy them tried it.
And it didn't work out, did it?
No, that song almost got them. That matter of fact, that song did get them locked up.
Yeah, so, you know. Certain, you can talk about blacks. You can talk about whites. You can talk about Mexicans, Latinos.
Right.
You start talking about Jews.
But what gets me about the whole thing.
You got a point.
Yeah, they don't
play. You got a point.
When we talk about, when black folks talk about another race, they get offended and they want us to take class and go talk to the people. But when people talk about us, they're none of that happen. It's just spitting in the wind. They say what they feel about us. But you say something about a Jew or whomever, it's like the world stops spinning.
Right.
I don't get that. You know, we have a history too. Y'all had the Holocaust. We had the slave. We were slaves.
Right.
We bought him against our free will. So it was almost Hitler did something to y'all that America did to us.
I hope people too much in the wrong way for somebody to do something for us, man, instead of doing for ourselves, man. We are like look at Puffy, Oprah, Tyler Perry. We got a lot of people that millions and millions and millions of dollars, man.
Billionaires.
You know what I'm saying?
These are billionaires, you just said.
A lot of this stuff that we complain about, we have people that could have changed things.
Right.
Say like Black Wall Street. Why they ain't gonna be a Black Wall Street?
And you know what, Lee? It's so funny that you bring that up, Lee, and I appreciate that, brother, because I said to myself the exact same thing.
We got enough.
When they talked about the Tulsa burning down of Black Wall Street,
they could have been put that back there.
All the affluent blacks that we have on the football fields, the basketball courts, all of them that are in the movie industry, the production industry, all that, we have enough. Why has no one ever went back and rebuilt Black Wall Street?
Yeah, or built
that. That is a building somewhere else.
Yeah, we have enough. We have enough money in our community to start our own political program.
Exactly.
Bullshit, but we can actually do that.
Right,
we got enough people to do it.
We have enough
money to do it.
Right, and enough political power.
We do.
As the black vote. But let me tell you something that I like to discuss. And we, as a people, have since slavery and Jim Crow laws have never been able to unite. And the thing is, on the plantation, they started dividing us. And putting that seed in our head, so you know our psyche, as they say, you know, they start putting that in our psyche, that division. And Jim Crow came and told them, look, all you got to do is divide them up and make them one against the other, one better than the other. That's it. And we right now as black people, all these centuries later, I'm gonna just say centuries later, still fall under the guise and the foolishness of the Jim Crow laws. And they're not even prevalent no more in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put it in there, I have to say this, and it might be a lot of blacks who don't agree with me. But the Jim Crow laws was the greatest creation the white man ever came up with to keep us down. Period. Because it's still working today.
Mm-hmm.
All these centuries later, it's still working today. And not only that, it's on cruise control. They ain't even got to do nothing no more. Sit back and let them kill each other. Let them divide amongst each other. And you'll stay in control. There was a quote, if you look it up, of in the I don't know exactly what year it was, but it was in the late 60s or early 70s, because J. Edgar Hoover was the head of the FBI, and he was head of the FBI for quite a while. But J. Edgar Hoover was in an interview and asked by another white reporter, what did he think was the greatest threat to the white people's way of life? You know, he said, no, he didn't say white. He said, what is the greatest threat to the American way of life? That's what he said.
Black people coming up.
No, J. Edgar Hoover simply said this: black unity is the greatest, the greatest threat to the American way of life right now. And if J. Edgar Hoover knew that in the late 60s, early 70s, why in 2020 we ain't figured that out and done it? With all of the supposed great, all of the great leaders we're supposed to have in our community, and all the forward thinkers and critical thinkers we're supposed to have, nobody has come forward and tried to unify America. Why is that? Why? The thing is, no, I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna tell you my reasoning that I think is why. Because America is scared to admit we sick, that our society is sick. Let me tell you something about sickness. If you don't think you sick, you ain't going to never get well. You see what I'm saying? That's just like me. I catch a cold. I got a bottle of cold medicine on that shelf. But I don't feel like I got no cold. So I ain't going to never take that medicine. And guess what I'm going to do? Remain sick. You see what I'm saying? And that's how black America has to understand the concept of unity and getting together and helping each other out. I don't care if you see an old man pushing a basket and he having trouble. Get out your car and help him out. You see what I'm saying? It could be that small of a start. You never know where to spark a movement. You see what I'm saying? But we will keep on riding past and watch that old man about to fall out and keep on driving in our air-conditioned car and won't get out and help him and see if he needs some help. Until we start addressing our own sickness, we're going to remain sick
right
in our society, period. And we, as a black America, have so many sicknesses and disease that run rampant in our own communities, and we don't take responsibility for them or do anything about them. Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue to be sick. And I want to just address the fact that that's one of the reasons I'm out here volunteering my time, and I offer it to my man, Cave Cass, to get out here and just giving back to these kids and understanding that they need us, need our guidance and our wisdom. That's the start. You never know what a spark will move.
Mm-hmm.
But we think that we got to do some grand gesture. We got to have $10,000 to, you know, to know this and this benefit and that. That ain't what you need, brother. Mm-hmm. You need your time, the wisdom that you've learned, and the opportunity. That's all you need. And that'll be enough to change and spark a movement. You never know what your little small, as you might feel, minute situation might turn into a spark. You ought to take a spark to start an island fire in California. That was started from a spark. That's all it took. Sometimes we need to be the spark and start some forest fire in our community. Now, any of you other brothers want to say anything?
Hey, JD.
Yes, sir.
I do understand what you're saying, and you're right about everything that you're saying. But, you know, in some cases, man, it's all about self. You want to protect yourself as well. Because sometimes you can reach out and try to help somebody and get your hand bit off. You know, a brother like me is kind of shell-shocked, you know, because I'm always helping. You know, but I'm always getting my hand bit. So,
right.
I believe in what you're saying, but it's sometimes difficult to do what you're saying because you're thinking, hey man, what is this person got planned for me? I'm gonna give you
right.
an example. This is something that I'm not proud of at all. I'm not proud of at all.
Okay. Your truth is your truth, Reg. Your truth is your truth, and that's all it is to it. It's not for us to judge you.
Well, you know me. I don't care if you do or not, but I'm just saying I know how I feel about it, and I just feel good about it. You know,
right?
It was about 3 a.m. I'm on the side of the freeway, and I see this older black woman. She's pulling over to the side. I want to stop and help her, but I'm like, hey, man, it might be a setup. You know, this is what I'm thinking. I'm trying to make it home to my family, so I did not stop to help this old woman, although I wanted to.
Right.
So it's situations like that where I just feel, you know what, I better try to make it home to my family. So if I pull over and try to help this woman, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not afraid to say that, hey man, I was kind of scared a little bit because, you know, man, it just seemed kind of, you know, what the hell you was doing at this time of night is what I'm thinking, you know. And I'm like, I just didn't stop. I don't know what happened to the old lady, but I always thought about it. You know, it's still in my mind.
Right.
That was years ago. But, you know, I was like, man, maybe you could stop and help that lady, you know, and, you know, just see if she needed some help. But I didn't do it. I kept rolling.
Right. Well, let me, I understand, Reggie, and I don't judge you for that, brother, but I will tell you this. I'm going to just leave with this little bit. We're going to close the show out with this little bit of information. And I understand exactly wholeheartedly what you're saying. Because you're right, sometimes in society, you are viewed a certain way because your skin is your sin. And you know, she may have accepted your help, or she may not have. But I tell you what I do every morning, Reggie. There's two things that I specifically pray for in the morning. I start all my days off with prayer. And sometimes there's a quick prayer. And the prayer that I have every day, Reggie, is every day that the two specific things that I pray for, I ask God for the power of discernment. That's the first thing. The second thing is that I ask God to supply my daily bread, which means, and I'm gonna tell you why those two simple prayers are enough to make His grace and His mercy sufficient for that day. Because let me tell you what the power of discernment does. First of all, the power of discernment lets you know who you should fool with and who you should not fool with. Second thing, it lets you know what situations you should get into and what situations you should avoid. Second thing is asking for your daily bread simply means, God, supply everything I need today for me and my household. And that's it. Just that simple prayer is enough and has been enough to carry me thus far. So we're going to leave on that note. And thank you for your comment, Reggie. And I appreciate everybody's honesty. Kenny Wayne, Country Boy,
yes,
I appreciate you. Rem KJ, I appreciate you and all your opinions. And Big Red Joe, I definitely appreciate you too, brother. And I'd like to thank Big Lee for being here with me out here at this park. And y'all, we had a great show. Great opinions, and again, I love you, brothers, and let's keep this movement going, baby. Let's be the spark to change our community. Thank y'all, and we'll see y'all next Saturday, 7:00, baby. Same bat time, same bat channel. We'll get back at you, and this has been JD's Man Cave. Thank you for listening.
Hey, this is JD of JD's Man Cave, coming at you again tonight on a big old Saturday night. We want to thank y'all for tuning in. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.